Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So our scripture, if you took a peek at the weekly email, is coming to us from the letter of James. This is our first week in Wesleyan Rooted, and actually it is a resource that was curated and developed by the Florida Annual Conference of the United Methodist Church. We're going to lean into that for 5 weeks, but we will begin with this because I think it really sets the stage. It comes from the Revised Common Lectionary, and I think that it is a good starting place for our conversation. However, this morning I will be reading from The Message. Please remember that there are many different translations, but as we kind of dig into the Wesleyan rooted theme, I wanted the words to fall on our ears in a little bit of a different way. And so today I'll be reading from The Message. The words are also on the screen. So, my very dear friends, don't get thrown off course. Every desirable and beneficial gift comes out of heaven. The gifts are rivers of light cascading down from the Father of light. There is nothing deceitful in God, nothing two-faced, nothing fickle. He brought us to life using the true word, capital W word, showing us off as the crown of all his creatures. Post this at all the intersections, dear friends. Lead with your ears, follow up with your tongue, and let anger straggle along in the rear. God's righteousness doesn't grow from human anger, so throw all spoiled virtue and cancerous evil in the garbage. In simple humility, let our gardener God landscape you with the word, capital W, making a salvation garden in your life. Don't fool yourselves into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. Those who hear and don't act are like those who glance in the mirror, walk away, and 2 minutes later have no idea who they are or what they look like. But whoever catches a glimpse of the revealed counsel of God, the free life, even out of the corner of his eye and sticks with it, is no distracted scatterbrain, but a man or woman of action. That person will find delight and affirmation in the action. Anyone who sets himself up as religious by talking a good game is self-deceived. This kind of religion is hot air and only hot air. Real religion, the kind that passes muster before God the Father, is this: reach out to the homeless and loveless in their plight, and guard against corruption from the godless world. These are the words of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Pray with me. Gracious and holy God, as we hear the word of James, there is truly a call to live life in action by our faith. And so this day, as we dig a little deeper to expand our understanding of what it means to be Wesleyan Methodists, open our ears and open our hearts and open our minds to hear what you would have us hear this day, that we may grow in grace and in your likeness. And so may the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So it's not any question that this letter of James, also known as an epistle, so if we think about the New Testament, you have the Gospels, and there are four of those, and then you have Acts, which is the beginning or history of the church, and then you have the epistles, which are the letters, and a lot of the letters that we hold to our faith are written by Paul and others, and some of them are written specifically to these early Christian churches that were following the way, and others were written for instruction for those who were going to take on the mantle of sharing the faith of God in this new light where Jesus is the lens to which to walk this faith. And James is no different. And so we have Hebrews as a connection to the Old Testament, indicating Jesus as priest, king, and teacher. And then we have James, and we have letters, you know, written 1 Peter, 2 Peter, but James is unique. And then the New Testament rounds out with that really strange book, Revelation, that we just can't quite wrap our head around. Can I get an amen? Amen. So we actually will have a sermon on Revelation at the end of November, so just be prepared. But right now we're going to focus in a little bit on James. And so really at the core of what James is trying to convey to us is, what does this life of faith look like? Right? So, you know, a lot of times we think that Paul is by faith alone you are saved, right? Really heavy in the theology of faith and belief and the grace. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. And so it's really rich in theology, right? And James is the very practical person. You need to do this. You need to do that. And then your faith will be made evident. So we think that they're on two sides, right? But in actuality, when we hold them together, Paul's words and James' words, they're really coming to the same place, but from different perspectives. That, friends, our faith is not something that should not be visible, you know, invisible, right? It is something that should be evident when we interact with people. Now, this can be done through our faithfulness to building up the body here in the church. It can be through the means of grace, you know, studying scripture and praying together and participating in Bible study. And it needs to be seen as an act of mercy, those things that we do out into the world to engage individuals. Because I got to tell you, when the world, you know, we could have a discussion. If you go out beyond the walls of the church and you say that I am a Christian, what kind of responses do you get? I see some eyebrows over there, Ashley. I would love to know what's behind that. That sometimes we use this term as being a Christian, and everyone is going to have a different definition of what that means, right? And that's the hard part, because sometimes when we see folks who say, I am a Christian, then sometimes their actions seem so contrary to our understanding of a life of faith. And that is hypocrisy, right? Being hypocritical of like, well, do as I say, but not as I do, which isn't very much evidence, this life of faith and religion, right? And sometimes, you know, folks will say, well, I am I'm a Christian, and I said the prayer of salvation. I got on my knees and claimed Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And then they never step foot back into a church. That breaks my heart. Or if they say, I'm a Christian and you have to believe what I believe or you're not a Christian, what do we do with that? Have y'all ever heard that? This expectation that you hold to a certain belief? So for us, as we think about James and we think about Methodism, here I can tell you that John Wesley felt that it was more than just saying some words. It was something that he tangibly lived out and taught other people to do. And it was something that started early, right? His mom, Susanna, would teach each of her children and brought them up in a life of faith. And John Wesley, having been rescued from their house fire, felt like he was an ember plucked from the fire in order to do good things for God. And in college, he was part of what was called the Holy Club. He and his friends created this group to hold each other accountable. Did any of y'all hold people accountable when y'all were in college? I would say that most of our experiences is we probably got raised up in the church, we graduated from high school, and then we didn't darken the doors of the church again until after, a little bit later, if we ever came back. But he and his friends would meet and they would pray and they would read scripture. And they were so, get this, methodical about what they were doing that people coined them Methodists. It was not a kind term. It was one to indicate that they were so different than everything else, but there was a method to their faith. And really, John Wesley just wanted to reform the church. He was an Anglican priest, and he said, stay connected to your church, your local parish, and be there. And yet, John Wesley was very intentional about creating societies similar to our charges right here, where they would gather for worship. But he also believed in classes where they were small groups, 10 to 12 people, usually grouped by age and gender, so that they could regularly meet and say, how is it with your soul? When was the last time someone looked at you and said, how is it with your soul? And if you come back with, it's fine, I want to get on you, right? But that was where they really lived this life and said, here's where I struggle. Here are the good things. Here's where I need help. And they prayed for each other and lifted each other up. And then you got something called bands, and they were the ones that were the leaders of these classes. And that is where the leaders were held accountable. And so there was this movement. And John Wesley got kicked out of the preaching houses. Did you know that? Because he specifically spoke to the social injustices that he witnessed and the changes that he felt needed to be made, how the impoverished persons were overlooked. Or there's this expectation that people show up to church on Sunday, but they worked on Sundays. So how were they to be spiritually nourished? So John Wesley really did model holding to a faith that even he questioned into a life of action. And so that brings us to James. Basically, if you say something and it's not evidenced in the way that you live your life, you are basically full of hot air. Right? So what does that mean for us? That if we claim to have true religion, do we truly know what that means? If we did, we wouldn't be sitting here. We come because we don't have all the answers. We don't have full understanding. We need God's grace to continue to work in and through us that we may grow and be perfected by God's love. Because at the core, God's love is what will be evident by how you engage, interact, and care for others. And not just the people that you already like, but the ones that may be different from us, who are still God's people, the ones who may think differently, who are God's people. Because I got to tell you, we don't have the market on being right on everything. And God's grace will work in and through us. So today, as we think about being rooted in the Wesleyan Methodist tradition, we hold to some very fundamental pieces. That God is a God of love. End of story. And it is through God's love expressed through Jesus Christ that things will be made right in all of creation. We walk humbly. We embrace God's love. And we seek justice in the world. Not justice to lift ourselves up, but to lift up the whole world. So that God's love is evident through how we engage and treat everyone else. So friends, in the next few weeks, really through the end of the year, can we hold each other in prayer? Can we ask for God's grace and love to be poured out upon each of us and all of God's beloved people? Can we pray for reformation, that the Holy Spirit will work in and through us? That will give evidence of the true faith in God. Because John Wesley also said, we may not all think alike, but we are all called to love alike. And the love to which we hold is that that comes from God through his Son, Jesus Christ, and felt deeply within by the gift of the Holy Spirit. That, my friends, is true religion. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.